It wasn't like, oh, let me do this for fun. Yeah. I did it like I had to defend myself. I had to fight back. So it was a kind of do or die. It was either that or I don't walk out of my house half the time, you know? So I look back in time and be like, I never want to go back there again.
Mm.
That's also one of the things that motivates me to keep working hard and keep moving forward.
So what's the first thing that somebody needs to know when they're coming into learn self-defense? Welcome to the Superhero Academy podcast. I'm your host, Arcangelo. Hello, superheroes, and welcome to the Superhero Academy podcast, where my mission is simple, to help you become a better storyteller. So whether you're an entrepreneur, creative, or influencer, this podcast is designed to help you tell better stories. Now, I normally say a little bit more, but today I've got a special guest. It's the first time this season I've got a guest on with me, and I'm really excited about this because, well, here's the thing. Look, I don't know if you could tell, I've been working out a little bit, just a little bit, you know what I mean? Here and there, I go to the gym every day, but one of the things I've been looking to do is integrate more fun into my workouts, actually build functional fitness, not just fitness for the sake of Instagram. But, you know, whatever, I'll take your likes on Instagram. In fact, if you're watching this, you're probably seeing it on Instagram or YouTube. So maybe hit that like button, maybe hit subscribe, maybe hit follow, whatever it is that looks like for you. But I really want to put the emphasis and focus on my guest today, Nick Drosos, who is a self-defense expert. He's built a YouTube following, an Instagram following, but more importantly, you've built a skill set that so many people around the world, men and women, are fascinated by. I'm fascinated by. So thank you so much for joining me on the podcast today.
Thank you, Marco, for having me on so much.
Yeah, I'm always fascinated with what I call people's superpowers. And what I love about the superpower that you're bringing forward is that your superpower is teaching people how they can defend themselves, how they can fight, how they can essentially kind of feel confident and feel safe specifically when walking the streets of Montreal or when walking the streets around the globe. I mean, I want to know a little bit of your story. How the hell did you get involved in self-defense? I mean, I heard a little bit of background, you know, here we were waiting for iPhones and stuff to update. But I want to hear a little bit about your story, how you got into this and why you're so passionate about it.
Well, you know, I grew up in Park Extension. So, you know, I grew up between Cremisy and Liège.
Mm-hmm.
So I was like the skinny, loudmouth Greek. And on one side, it was all like Greeks. The other side, it was all like Haitians. And we would be friends.
Yeah.
But, you know, one wrong word was said and suddenly, you know, we were always like scrapping back and forth. And one day we're friends, one day we're fighting. And it was back in the day where, you know, if you got bullied or pushed, you know, it's not like, oh, mommy. It's like, no, you had to learn how to defend yourself. You had to learn how to fight back, how to talk back. And that meant sometimes you took a beating and other times, you know, you managed to get a couple of shots. Yeah, you know, so it started at a very young age for me, you know, and it became like my passion, and I'm lucky enough to have continued and pursued it almost all my life. Like, I started with traditional martial arts, Kung Fu. I was about 9, 10 years old. I wanted to learn how to fight because, you know, as I was getting older, the fights were getting more real. So I started doing Kung Fu, and then I dedicated to that. And then I went into boxing and kickboxing and reality-based self-defense. And I just started exploring all of that. And 22, 23, I'm kind of fast-forwarding. I started working in nightclubs.
Mm-hmm.
So that's where I got a lot of...
And the Montreal nightclub scene, for those who don't know, is special.
And we're looking at 20 years ago, right?
Yeah.
So it was...
There was no cameras in the same way there are today. There's no social media. Bouncers beat up people on the regular. I mean, it was a different scene, right? Like, people get in fights in the bar or club, and then it's your job to just walk into the middle of the fight. Now, all of a sudden, you're in the fight because they're fighting you. It was a different reality. I'm old enough. I'm 32 years old. I'm old enough to remember a time before Facebook and Instagram and before cameras are everywhere.
And I go, thank God we didn't have cameras back then, because the shit we've done. And we talked about it. You know, when they used to hire a bouncer, it's not like they said, you have papers. No, you're big, you can fight. Like, they didn't give a shit, right? Yeah. So, like, I remember one club, I spent most of the time trying to control the bouncers, be like, okay, guys, just chill the fuck out. You know what I mean? Like, it's enough. You don't need to beat the shit out of the guy. You threw him out, it's done, you know? So I got to experience what really worked, what didn't work firsthand. And I remember I was teaching and I was like, okay, this works, this doesn't work. I learned this and I started putting together my own system through my, through, you know, actual practical applications. And then I just developed it and just kept going. And then I kept training with other instructors and picking up a little bit from everybody, then pressure testing it. And again, using it in real life. And then I just continued doing it. And I when I opened my YouTube channel 10 years ago, started popping out content and people started noticing it and I just kept doing it. And I'm fortunate because I love what I do. I'm helping people and I could make a living off it. So, I mean, it's probably the best career choice I could have made for myself.
Yeah. So I want to talk about that because you weren't always doing it full time and you had kind of another job that you were doing. But before I do that, I'm just going to show the audience, just a little, I mean, you know, some of the stuff that you, some of your brand, I mean, you put time and energy into building this brand.
I love this stuff. I love the branding and the business aspect. It's a passion. It's like a game.
And I'm a fucking, I mean, you know this. Yeah. I'm a nerd. I'm a geek. I mean, I love the videos here. I love the look and feel of the brand is super consistent. I like the imagery. I like the kind of, the way your brand is styled, at least from the website perspective, is very clear, and I like it. I like the website. I also love, at the end of the day, you have 389,000 subscribers on YouTube, so I kind of went digging. We're going to talk about that a little later, because I have some, you know, some feedback for you, and we'll talk a little bit about some of the things that happened to your channel or, you know, things that are going on. But you have videos with, I mean, millions of views, hundreds of thousands of views. So you've been at this for a while. Like, some of these videos are 6, 7, 8 years old, or whatever it is. I mean, this is not something you just kind of, you know, picked up and started doing yesterday or because of COVID or whatever. And you've also built a bit of a following on Instagram and some of these other social media platforms. So, and for those who don't know, we just met. Like, this is the first time. I love this. I love having conversations with people and meeting people for the first time while on the podcast because it's such a fun way.
And it's authentic, right?
Exactly. That's the questions I have for you are just authentically, like, I just don't know. You know what I mean? So I don't necessarily have a background.
I'm going to mention something. So the website you just saw right now, this is my fifth website in 3 years.
I believe that.
Because I hate working with web developers, right? A lot of
many
them
of us do.
They're lazy. Before this website, I lost $7,000. I went with another company. I was fucking so pissed. They pitched me this great idea, this marketing thing, and I went with it. And then I was a money pit. Mm-hmm. And then when Stefan from Maclay, who's a client, told me, I said, I want a new site. And then we started talking about it. And he's like, you need to rebrand. And I was like, I've heard this spiel before. Yeah. Like, are you guys really going to deliver what you tell me? And I scrapped everything and I restarted. The logo's brand new. The site is brand new. And they did an amazing job. So I feel like finally, after almost 10 years of doing this, I'm directing it like well. And I'm making money off
online. So you learned self-defense in the world of real life, or you didn't learn self-defense in the world of marketing?
No,
bullshit.
No, that's...
I get it. I as somebody who's kind of been involved in ran in many cases and I had a lot of clients in the web design and development side of things, I fully get it. Speaking web developer and speaking to designers and kind of getting something that makes sense, and the logic that they have is just not the same functional logic that an entrepreneur has. Like they operate differently.
But why is that? Like to me, it's like, I remember I heard, I'm like, this is what you told me you were going to give me. It doesn't look like this. What happened? It's your job. I don't want to micromanage. You're supposed to know what you're doing.
I hear you. I mean, I don't know. I don't know that I can explain the pitfalls of why building a website can be so complicated. What I can say is some are much better at it than others.
That's what it is.
And some of it is like, I don't think web designers and developers should be leading client management. I think that they should be coding and designing and doing those things, but they should be guided by people who deal with the person making the brand. And there's a difference between somebody who understands branding and then somebody who does branding through the fact that they're doing the actual code or the actual Photoshop or whatever it is, right? But that's a whole other topic. Yeah. Okay, so you're getting into street fights with kids in your neighborhood, yeah. and so for those who don't know Montreal, he's talking Park X is in a kind of a suburb or one of the neighborhoods in Montreal. Mm-hmm. And at the time, years ago, it was a very different neighborhood than it is today. Now it's bougie and hipster in another way.
Yeah, it's getting there. Yeah.
It's getting there. Yeah, yeah, yeah. It's got its own hipster vibe. Mm-hmm. It's not quite the plateau, which is hipster central. Yeah. St. Henry and Griffintown is more yuppie. Yuppie kind of West Island yuppie type of vibe. But I love that you actually learned the skill because of just necessity. Yeah. I mean, it was basically, you know, at the end of the day, you were in a position where fight or flight was real.
Yeah. It wasn't like, oh, let me do this for fun. Yeah. I did it like I had to defend myself. I had to fight back. So it was a kind of do or die. It was either that or I don't walk out of my house half the time, you know? So, you know, and again, it's been my whole life, especially if you look at the fact that, you know, I dropped out of school when I was 16, right? Mm-hmm. I was, you know, my parents, immigrant parents, minimum wage job. It was like, okay, it wasn't like, oh, here's your allowance. Like, no, go get a job and go out and work and figure shit out, you know?
And so your first job was, I think you mentioned it was McDonald's,
flipping burgers. And it was a little bit scary because I remember thinking, okay, I'm like, you know, I'm 18, I was technically out of school. Mm-hmm. I had no high school education. I'm working. I remember at the time I was working as a busboy at a restaurant, and I'm thinking, holy shit, what am I going to do for the rest of my life? Mm.
And turns out that until the age of 32, you actually were working as a janitor.
I was working at the hospital. I was working at a hospital. I was maintenance, like, you know, cleaning and stuff. And it was the most depressing thing in my life. Like waking up every day, 7 to 3:30, you know, washing toilets, pushing the cart. And there's nothing wrong with it. If you're happy with it and you're good with it and you're content,
sure.
Hey, more power to you. Like, I mean, we need them. But for me, every night I would go home, I was like, oh, shit, the next day. Every Friday I was excited, and every Sunday night I was getting freaking, like, anxiety. You know what I mean? And it took a toll on my health. Mm-hmm. Not to mention I was, like, in a relationship where I wasn't happy, and my son was just born, so I was like, how the fuck am I going to get out of this mess? Mm-hmm. Like, I mean, it was a disaster. I mean, a whole life was, I had to, you know, turn my whole life around, meaning change my career, pull the plug on my relationship, you know, restart my, so it was, you know, and I had to do them one by one, and mm-hmm. it wasn't easy, but I look back and I'm like, thank God I made all these decisions, mm-hmm. or else I'd still be there. And there was, I look back in time and be like, I never want to go back there again.
Mm.
That's also one of the things that motivates me to keep working hard and keep moving forward.
Mm. So what's the first thing that somebody needs to know when they're coming in to learn self-defense? I mean, I can imagine that there's so many reasons why people show up. It's parents bringing their kids because there's kids, their parents are afraid that their kids are going to get bullied in school. I can imagine there's, and you've already mentioned that there's women who have been raped and now are like, fuck this, or are afraid of being raped and are like, okay, I need to be aware and I need to be strong. I can imagine it's people who are bouncers today, you know what I mean? And working in, you know, risky scenarios, or who are guards at a bank or whatever it is. Like, it must be such a wide variety of people wanting to learn self-defense. I mean, what's the first thing you tell them? Somebody walks in the door, they know nothing about self-defense.
The first thing I start working on is really like, I want to figure out their mindset. Mm. You know, what are their fears? Why are they coming here? What do they want to overall learn? Like, mm-hmm. I tell them, what is learning self-defense mean to you? Right. And that's, I want to break that down so I could know where they're at in what, how they see it. And then kind of work from where, like, what their fears are, what they want to work on. And I start with that. And I always start with teaching people, like, how to be aware.
Mm.
How to manage your space, be aware, how to read body language, how to avoid, how to escape. You know, if you're looking at somebody and he's facing me, where am I looking at? His hands. Does he have a weapon? Is he angling off? Mm. Is his friend trying to come around me to sucker punch me? So it starts with awareness. Then I work on, you know, verbal strategies, how to diffuse, how to de-escalate, how to pattern interrupt. These are basics. If you learn these, it's like, you know, you look at the animal kingdom, it's hard for them, you know, the idea is, don't let them get close.
Yeah.
And if they do, then you have to make a decision. You either fight.
The fight is the last resort at the end of the day.
Yeah.
The main thing you don't want to do is freeze.
Yes.
Like, well, you don't want to just do nothing.
If you can run, yeah. I tell people, get out, run.
Yeah, flight. Flight Go. Is the answer.
Flight is the answer.
Flight and or de-escalate.
Absolutely. Yeah. If you have no choice and you're stuck in an elevator and the person's got a knife and he's stabbing you, you better fucking fight back with everything you have. Because here's my theory when I tell people, are like, well, I'm scared if I get hurt or if they hit me. I'm like, this is very simple. If somebody's attacking you, he's already committed to attacking, you might as well fight back.
Oh, 100%.
You might as well give this guy, like, I do a lot of knife defense. I even trained, like, the Boston police. So I flew to the U.S. and I trained their defensive tactic unit.
Oh, nice.
In my knife defense, because it's very realistic. Mm-hmm. And we're doing drills. And I'm like, if somebody's grabbed you and they're, you know, again, you're in close quarter, you need to trap the knife. You need to isolate, to pick up an improvised weapon. So I teach them realistic strategies. You know what I mean? So... it's not like, you know, it's not like memorized movements like, you know, karate or kung fu, 1, 2, and that stuff doesn't work. Mm-hmm. And I think that's what separated me from other self-defense instructors.
Yeah.
When people look at my video like, wow, this is pretty real comparing to what's out there.
Yeah, I think that martial arts is more of a game of discipline. Mm-hmm. Like, it's about, like, can you learn the moves? Can you show up? Can you get into a particular shape? Can you find, you know, can you dig deep into your mindset in different ways? What I like about the self-defense side of it is that it's just very real world. It's like, look, you don't know what's going to happen in life. Sometimes you're in a random situation, or you're in a pickle, or somebody threw something at a bar, and then they turn around, and they think it's you, and now all of a sudden you're in some fight. Even though whether you instigate it or not, there's just been moments. Yeah. I'm a young man who've been out to a bar or club once or twice in my day, and just there's some people that just want to fight.
Yeah,
they just want to fight.
I mean, especially like your age group. Like I remember when I used to work in the clubs, like. You know, you got alcohol,
yeah.
You got drugs, mm-hmm. You got girls, you got nightclubs.
Yeah.
It's like, I mean, I tell people, you wanna see a fight, just go to a club and hang out.
Wait.
And wait. 2 a.m, just stay outside the door.
Yeah.
There's gonna be a fight. Some bozos are gonna come out and there's always shit happening, you know. So
yeah.
I mean, and I do think it's a skill, if you ask me, it should be taught in school, it should be taught to kids from a young age. Like I tell people, oh, well, you know, let's, you know, stop bullying. Okay. Teach kids how to defend themselves, teach them how to stand up for themselves. And if two kids are picking on one kid, well, you know, if there's other kids who learn how to defend themselves, well, then it's if they're learned and taught it, that it's their duty to protect and serve other people as well. Mm. Well, then you kind of create a playing field that's more or less even. So,
and you're evening the playing field by just, cause a bully, If a kid is trained or they've done martial arts or they've you know, gained confidence, or maybe they hit puberty faster than the other kid and now all of a sudden they're just bigger and stronger and whatever it is, you know, when you know that a victim, and I use the word victim very clearly, is if you know somebody is helpless in some way, shape, or form, the likelihood that they become a victim is much higher.
Absolutely.
Than if you don't know that this person has a baseline of they might be super strong, or maybe they practice boxing all the time and might just crack you. Out of, you know, they might throw a quick jab or left hook on you, and you're gonna hit the floor. You know what I mean? So you're gonna think twice about fighting anyone on the street if you know that everyone got trained.
Yeah,
you know what I mean. At some point in their life, whether they're being grade school, whether they're being high school, my thought is it should be in both. I just think that we should learn real world skills, and I think this is a very important real world skill.
I totally agree. And I don't know why they don't do it. There's a lot of like red tape to that. Like, you know, like how do they set, you know, what could be taught, what can be taught, the rules of engagement. Like I train kids. So I always tell the parents, my son's rule of engagement is very simple. If somebody touches you, Noah, the instant they place their hands on you, you have the right to defend yourself. Mm-hmm. You freaking crack them. I don't care. Mm-hmm. Right. So I don't want to create a kid that's a victim who's going to roll over and take a beating. No, you're getting hit. You better fight back.
Yep.
And I think that that should be taught. But unfortunately, there's a lot of like, you know, especially today's culture, like you don't hit back. And you know, like,
what do you mean? We have to cushion everything?
Yeah. I mean, sad, but that's the way it's going. You know what I mean? And at the end, I believe that a victim mindset is a victim mindset. And that victim mindset is carried on through anything you do in your life.
Yeah.
If you're a victim and bullied as a kid, and then at work, and then in your relationship, it goes again. You know, you rarely will meet a strong, confident person who has a lot of skills, you know, being bullied maybe in one, and normally it kind of like goes in all together. That mindset is wired the same way.
Yeah. I love what you said there. If you're a victim in one place, you're a victim in general. Like you're yeah. It's really a way of thinking about your life holistically. It's not just about you getting in a street fight or you, you know, being attacked in some way, shape, or form or whatever situation. It's actually about empowering yourself. It's actually about, and what's ironic about like this kind of PC cancel culture or whatever you want to call it, right? Is that all of that is about safety. Like
good
everything.
Good point, yeah.
If you really think about it, it's just about them wanting to scale safety for, and from a words perspective, okay, did you use the right pronouns for me or did you use this? Whatever it is, it's just about creating safety and inclusion as much as possible.
I don't know if it's safety or like non-offending. Like,
well, it's kind of it's a weird way of saying defense in another way, right? Like, it's like you're trying to not offend people, so therefore you're trying to play preventative defense, which is an interesting thought. Yeah. And that's at the end of the day, that's what you teach. Like, defense isn't just, and like you said, you mentioned it, and you know, what's the first thing I asked you? What's the first thing you work with? You talked about mindset, where they're at, why they're there, and verbal skills.
Yeah.
Noticing skills, awareness skills, consciousness skills. I mean, that's what it boils down to.
That's what it comes down to, yeah.
Right? Because, like,
it's the base.
Yeah. If you've ever been in a fight or in a situation where a fight might break out, I know that it's like your adrenaline kicks up and all of a sudden time slows down and it's just like, and you just like, you're seeing the world in like a different lens. In a lens, it's almost like you're in the Matrix.
Yeah.
That's how I've.
And tunnel vision too as well happens, right?
Tunnel vision, you're just in like a weird state where all of a sudden you're not operating like you would normally, but you're hyper aware of certain things.
Absolutely.
And you become like super, like it's like your senses, it's like a superpower kicks in. And it's biological. It's literally
it's biological.
In our DNA. We are bred for fighting, flighting, or freezing.
Yeah.
And for the most part, I think it's just, there's a reason so many of us love watching fighting. There's a reason why the UFC is super popular, boxing super popular. There's a reason why martial arts are super popular all around the globe. I mean, we're just, it's not that long ago that we were in the jungle.
It's true.
You know what I mean? It's not that long ago that you know, even if you think about history, most of what we talk about in history is marked by war.
Good point. Yeah.
Right? Like, what do you know about the 40s? Yeah. Right? Or the 1939. When I say 1939, what do you think of?
World War II. Yeah.
That's it. Most of history is war. And so we're living in the most peaceful time of all time. We've had this kind of 75-year stretch of like a very peaceful existence. But at the same time, there's real life danger out there. There's real life situations that are just not conducive to you not knowing how to defend yourself, not knowing how to, knowing when it's time to like realize that somebody's bringing something to you. Yeah. Like they're on the offensive. And for whatever reason it is, maybe they're on antidepressants and they have a cocktail of alcohol and antidepressants and all of a sudden they've just lost a screw. Maybe they're taking too much cocaine, which is super popular here in Montreal, know. Whatever the fuck reason, they're coming at you. Yeah. You want to know, you want to be ready. Yeah. I want to be ready.
You said the cocaine part. Oh man, I remember when I had to fight at the club. I was on cocaine, they feel nothing.
Yeah.
You
just whack them and they're done.
Nothing. No, they don't feel anything. Yeah. They keep fighting. They're like, you know, because their fucking mindset's like, it's like super strong when they're in that thing and their mindset and belief. And you're right. Like, I mean, I think that like when we're looking at like self-defense, you know, it should be, you know, age, gender, doesn't matter. Anybody could learn it no matter. Like, I mean, I trained a 65-year-old. So he's like, look, I want to learn some self-defense. I'm like, okay, let's start with some basic stuff. Let me show you how you could be aware and become a hard target. And he had like a shoulder problem. I'm like, okay, let me show you some basic strikes. It's all about keeping it simple. I tell people it's not about learning more.
Yeah.
It's about learning less and then training more. That's what I focus on more. Because you don't need to learn 25 strikes, 15 kicks, 5 good strikes, train the shit out of them, learn how to hit them hard, and you're good to go.
Mm.
So it's all about keeping it simple a lot of times.
Mm. So I'm going to say a statement. I want you to pick me apart on it.
Yeah.
My belief, and I know nothing, I've never done any self-defense training in any way, shape, or form. My belief is always a good defense is your best offense. Like, I always wait. It's almost like my strategy if I were to get into a fight is let them move first.
So I'm
in the I also know that if there's a situation where they're going to be aggressive, I also want to kind of create either an element of surprise or I want to strike first in certain moments too. and knowing the difference between those two things. Now, I know I just fucking shot. I did a shotgun spray.
There's a little bit of both, right? So yeah. I always tell people I'm either defusing. I always teach to go preemptive. Hit them first, hit them hard, and hit them with them talking. Right? They're talking, they're processing, boom, sucker punch them. Who gives a shit? It's in the street. But only when you fear, like you have no other option, right? If I try to defuse a situation, I bring my hands up, I'm trying to de-escalate the fight, but you keep breaking into my range.
Yeah.
And I see the cues and the signs of you angling off, maybe reaching for your pocket, looking around, touching your face, doing any of the type of cues that I know you're mentally preparing for your strike.
Like eye rolls.
Yeah. Like, I mean, there's signs that if you look at even on YouTube, and it's like textbook. I used to sit in front of the club. I used to watch fights and be like, okay, the guy's angling off. Oh, man. It's going to suck.
So when you say angle off, for those who don't know, I understand what you're saying, but for those who don't understand.
So like if I'm talking to you and suddenly as I'm talking to you, I step with my right leg forward.
So you could tell, okay.
Yeah, and that means I'm just getting to my range and my position.
You're getting ready to.
I'm getting ready. My hands are down. And a lot of times they're going to swing their shoulders to the side and like angle off because they're ready to sucker punch you, right? Mm. The guy's talking to you and he takes two steps back. And he might be going a hand in his pocket, then he might have a knife. So these are things that I've learned and I teach to be able to pick up that are going to make all the difference. And
super subtle.
Yeah, it's super subtle because if somebody's going to attack you, especially if we look at, forget about gun, but knife defense, yeah. It's close quarter range. You need to be at least 3 to 6 feet to your attacker. Your arm, your weapon has to be out or concealed.
Yeah.
So you have a few seconds to make a decision. Mm-hmm. And to me, it's always like, you know, I'm always about go offensive. Hit him first, hit him hard, and get out as quickly as possible.
Mm. Let's say a woman has pepper spray in her purse. She's worried that somebody approaching, kind of maybe looking, you know, he's got weird sideways eyes. He's looking like he wants to take some them into the back alley or do whatever. Do you think, would you go with pepper spray? Would you go with, I mean, obviously if the person's not trained, maybe you go pepper spray.
Yeah,
like, I want to hear, I'm like throwing situations.
No, it's good.
You.
It's good. I love this stuff. It's what I do. Right. So I've made videos on how to use pepper spray and pepper spray is one of these things that like, if you're a woman and you're about to approach me to attack me, it's gotta be out already in my hand.
If you're going to use it,
it's going to be like unclipped out. And I got to like spray it almost at an S. And also where's the wind blowing? Am I in an elevator? If I spray the elevator, guess what? I'm getting sprayed too.
Yeah.
Right. So it's better than nothing if you've kind of learned or have an idea how to use it.
Yeah.
But I'm not crazy about carrying weapons like a knife or whatever.
Taser.
Yeah, I'm not crazy about that. Learn how to use your hands. Now learn how to use an improvised weapon is better. Mm. That means learning how to use your environment is better bang for your buck. Learning how to pick up a glass. Bam, throw it and run because then you're not relying on something or you're not emotionally attached to a weapon, but you're relying on knowing how to work with what's around you. If you're in a bar, if you're, I don't know, if you have your umbrella, if you have your school bag, a jacket, cap, anything that you could throw, use even as a...
Anything that's unpredictable.
Unpredictable.
There's only been one time I've actually not been able to de-escalate a fight.
Yeah,
there's just one time that just basically... This guy you could tell he wanted to fight. There was no, I didn't do anything wrong. Like, and I know everyone says that. Honestly, this guy was just like drunk, belligerent.
No, I've seen guys like that. Like, you don't want to fight, and they're out, they're drunk.
Yeah.
They've made a choice to fight.
Yeah.
And they're not going to stop till they get in a fight.
And it was like, nothing had happened. It's like, I didn't speak to his girlfriend or whatever. It was just, I don't even understand what the fuck was happening. All of a sudden, this guy's kind of like beaming at me, and I can fucking tell he's just like, he's coming for me in some way, shape, or form. And I had a drink in my hand. And so I was just kind of standing there. I had a drink in my hand, and I just made this decision that what I was going to do is take the glass, throw the water up so that his head would crack, and I just cracked him.
Oh, shit. Beautiful.
And he went down.
And you did it?
And I hit him right.
Fuck.
I'm still to this day.
Did you knock him out?
I totally knocked him out.
Oh, man.
I mean, dude, his chin went up. Oh, yeah. Like, he looked up like he was just confused, and I just cracked him. And honestly, I don't think that I threw the hardest punch or whatever it is. It's just I just connected.
Yeah.
And
it's not the hardest shot, right? It's the shot you don't see, you don't expect.
That's the whole point. It was in his mind. He was looking for a fight, but in that moment, I just chose element of surprise. And I'm going for it.
Like that's stuff that I would teach, right?
Mm. So you think I did well in that situation?
Like, I mean, maybe
I mean, the guy went down, so obviously I did something all right.
At the end, you know what I mean? I trained the woman. She was attacked. And And the guy attacked her from behind, and she started screaming and yelling, and she started like just going into his face with whatever she could. And then she managed to defend herself, and then she, you know, came to do self-defense classes with me. And she's like, "So, you know, did I do well?" I'm like, "You're here, right? You did amazing. You did amazing." Like,
that's true, yeah.
You did amazing. You should be proud of yourself. Like, I mean, you did the best with what you knew, yeah. Right? It could have easily went another way, but you did something. But now we'll just teach you other things you could have done.
Yeah.
You know, so that's it, you know.
And I feel like people's default answer is kick them in the balls and run.
Under adrenaline, I've been kicked in the nuts. Like, it won't drop you.
Yeah.
So I always have a theory when I teach. It's like, don't ever have a one shot, one. I always say everything works and nothing works.
Mm.
Right? The guy could be under the influence of drugs, cocaine, like obviously alcohol,
whatever,
painkillers, like all kinds of shit. These guys could take a beating. So, yeah, you know, I mean, kick him in the balls might work. Maybe an eye gouge is going to work, but maybe it won't, right? If he has you in close quarters and he's grabbed you, even if you eye gouge him and he's got a knife, let's say, I don't need to be, once I have you, I don't need to look at where I'm attacking.
Yeah, you know where the stab is going. Right? If I've grabbed your shirt or you grab my shirt and you're going after me.
Then you don't need, right? So it's not, I mean, again, that's why I teach, you know, the basics, but I also want to create a mindset that, you know what, you hit him with everything you have, with as many different things that you get, but don't get emotionally attached to a certain kick or a certain move or a certain strike, because if it doesn't work, you're going to short circuit and be like, I hit him in the eyes, he didn't go down, what happened?
You actually might freeze.
You just fucking keep going.
Mm, interesting. So I was watching your videos, and I didn't watch the full videos of certain things, but I was watching kind of clips you had on Instagram, for example. And one of the things you were doing, you had a bag in your hands and you were kind of like, you know, using it as a way of creating defense. Yeah. And one of the lines you said was creating a little bit of space and time.
Yeah.
So is what creating space and time about is then the opportunity to run?
Look, so I have, and I think this is where I kind of stand out from the other instructors. I really pressure test my stuff, right? Yeah. So we talk about knife because I have my knife defense program and I really took a year to build it.
Yeah.
Everybody's like, oh, against the knife, you know, you're stupid, Nick. Don't teach this shit. Just run. Great. Let's go in the elevator and do a scenario.
Yeah.
You can't run through a wall.
Let's
do even.
Somebody coming from behind, they've got a knife.
Even face to face, if you're in close quarter, right? Yeah. And when I trained the police, we did drills where they were against the wall and somebody had a knife 3 feet, 6 feet, 9 feet. Mm-hmm. And by the time you get to your weapon, I've already stabbed you. And I did this in my gym where I was 10 feet away, and Helen, who's like a friend of mine, she had a knife, obviously the rubber knife, I was near the door. We calculated 10 feet. My goal had to run to the door and get out. By the time I opened the door, she stabbed me, right? So space is good. To have that distance and space is good if I'm in the street, a soccer field, hockey field, whatever it is, and bank that I can run faster than you.
Yeah.
If you can't, then chances are I'm going to stab you chest to back. So sometimes having more space is good, because sometimes you want to create a little bit of space just to create an opportunity to maybe pick up an improvised weapon or just create some noise. Mm-hmm. If you could escape. But if you're in a closed environment at some point and the person wants to attack, you're going to have to fight them.
And the truth is that most of that decision of whether to run or not is based on experience. Like, part of why you do training is that you gain situational experience.
Absolutely.
Where your adrenaline is not kicking in the same way that it would have, but it could kick in a little bit at least when you're training. And then you kind of start to gauge, like, okay, how fast am I?
Yeah.
Somebody who's a 43-year-old who hasn't ran in fucking forever, used to be a track star, but now all of a sudden hasn't ran in 10 years, they don't realize how fast or not fast they are. And they don't, you know, they have to kind of gauge. At the end of this split-second decision.
And even a woman in her skirt and her heels. So we're going to do 12 scenarios for my knife defense program.
Yeah.
And we're going to do them in an elevator, a staircase. I have a list of real locations we're going to go.
Okay.
And, like, one of them is going to be in a car.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, if somebody attacks you with a knife and you're in your car, well, where are you going to run? Are you going to parry? Are you going to trap? No. What are you going to do? So when you create that environment and you train in it, you start realizing, okay, you create a blueprint. You're like, okay, your brain's going to... is going to create a memory and be like, okay, this works here well. That works here. So the more you, even if you visually see it, you'll learn. But if you go and you do it and you experience it, then you'll be much better and you'll have a quicker response. I compare it to like kids, right? They do fire, you know, those fire things when the school bell rings, you know, when they're fire mm-hmm. drills. Why? So when the fire drill happens, they don't panic. They know they got to go here. They got to go in line. Same thing with training.
Yeah. The first thing you're training is not to panic.
Yeah, not to panic. And even if panic sets in for a split second, right away, your brain's going to find a solution because you've done it, you've seen it, you've trained it, you've experienced it.
Well, you've built neurological pathways. You've literally built subconscious neurological pathways that create defense for you.
Absolutely. Like, I mean, when we do the trainings and I do scenarios with them where we put helmets, we put them in real locations, we freaking go at them. Like, yeah, they panic, they freak out, adrenaline dumps. I've seen people puke, pass out almost, right. You know what I mean? Yeah, totally. Yeah, like...
Which is every response, yeah.
Yeah, like, I mean, it's real, but at the same time, even if you get through that fear and the adrenaline, your body's going to just, it goes into automatic pilot, and it's going to do automatically what you've trained to do because it knows it.
Yeah.
And I tell people, if you're afraid, don't worry about it. Just let your body take over, and it's going to naturally do what it's supposed to do, and that's why you train.
Very interesting. So I'm the kind of person who takes training to the next level.
Okay.
What I mean by training to the next level is, like, I'm interested, like, I'm the kind of guy who, if I'm going in, I'm going all in. You know what I mean? Okay. And what I mean by that is, like, I would love to get to, if I'm going to do self-defense, I want to get to self-defense level freaking James Bond.
Okay.
You know what I mean? Now, I understand that's a multi-year process in many ways.
You could.
Yeah. But I think that's, like, you know, I'm assuming that dependent on who the person is and how much training they've done and different things, there's kind of like levels to this, right? Like in anything, right? Like there's a white belt and there's a black belt and there's a difference between the two.
Well, in like traditional martial arts, there is.
Yes.
But in like self-defense systems...
You think it's just hours, you know?
There's not. Like there's no specific levels. In Krav Maga, there is.
Okay.
But at the end, I mean, there's no... There's no, you know, I mean, I personally don't have levels. I just train the people, and I build them up. Like, yeah. I mean.
And you change the situation, or you make the situation more intense.
That's all it is.
That's, you know, part of it.
Yeah, because, again, I don't teach that much stuff. Like, within, let's say, 6 months, you've learned everything I have to teach you, right? Because it's not about learning so much. Your brain, you know, you got to keep it simple, because already you're under adrenaline, fight or flight, like everything that's going on for you to be able, you know, to throw, like, fine motor skills where you're like, I'm gonna punch the guy in the temple, I'm gonna like punch him underneath, like all that's fine motor skills, doesn't work under high stress situations. So learning how to fight with gross motor skills, right? Gross motor skills under pressure. So in like 6 months, I've taught you everything that you need to learn. Then it's just about training it in the most, you know, different type of scenarios and just making it as intense and doing drills that are like gonna push you. Like 2-on-1, 3-on-1, full-out drills, helmets, weapons, real environments. We used to put strobe lights on and do scenarios like to simulate, being in a nightclub. And you can't see, and bam, you're getting hit, you're falling down. And we throw shit in, like like a table, chair.
Yeah, somebody shoves you from behind all of a sudden because you're in a club, and then you backed out into them or whatever, and now they pushed you.
And that's the reality.
Yeah. That is the reality.
I tell people, do you train to slip and fall? They're like, no. Well, guess what is going to happen? So you better know how to fucking fight from every situation possible.
I saw some of that on your Instagram and stuff too, where you're like on the ground focusing on, okay, how do I create distance from the weapon hand. Exactly, yeah. So, yeah, I love it. I think it's great. I mean, I love that you've also taken the time to make content about these different situations and you know, do all these different things. Now, before we get into the content piece, because I know you're going to have 1,000 questions. Yeah. I already set you up. Yeah. I primed him for this. I primed him for the fact that I have a lot of feedback for how you could kind of get your YouTube channel going again in another way. You're still getting 166,000 views, by the way, a month. So you're doing something right. But I know you can get back to another level. Point being, one of the things I want to talk about, I think it's super relevant nowadays, is, look, we're kind of on the other side of COVID-ish, okay? Who knows what the plans are? And I'm just not even going to go there, but who knows what's next, right? Yeah. Who knows what zone we're going to be or whether we're going to shut down again, lock down, this, that, the other. I imagine that, you know, the pivot as an entrepreneur, as somebody who's kind of, you know, been probably teaching most of this in person in, you know, many situations, your pivot into making online content that you had already done on YouTube for many years, but then starting to teach this online, starting to teach it through Zoom, starting to teach people who are, you were mentioning California or whatever it is. I mean, tell me about that. I mean, when kind of the world shuts down, they're like, okay, nobody can come to your gym any longer. And now your business is under attack all of a sudden.
You know what? I always have a hard time saying, because I know a lot of business did suffer.
Yeah.
But it was the best thing that happened for my business. It was the direction I've always wanted to go, but I didn't know how. It was hard to tell a client that you're training live to like, hey, let's train online. And I always tell people like,
it normalized exactly the direction you wanted to go.
Absolutely. So like at the beginning, my clients that were training live, I used to go to their houses and train them. I'm like, look, you know, let's try it online. They didn't want, we'll wait. We'll see how long this COVID thing's going to last.
At the beginning, sure.
Yeah. 3 months later, they're like, oh, I'm gaining weight. Okay, let's do it. I'm like, let's try it. Even me, it was kind of new.
Yeah.
I don't know how good or possible it's going to be. Mm-hmm. And then suddenly I started going online and then I'm like, holy shit, this is pretty good. Like, I mean, I don't have to travel. I have my studio at home. And then I was like, okay, now it's time for me to hit the world market because people are being educated and being used to doing everything online. Mm-hmm. So then I created my online training programs. I have like 7-8 programs, my online private coaching. And then suddenly I'm training people all around the world. And I did my instructor course. I had 6 people that were supposed to fly from LA to train with me for a weekend. And because of COVID, it kept getting postponed and canceled. And he's like, you know what? Why don't we just do it online? And I'm like, all right, 6 people, LA, an online instructor course, 6 hours, 1 weekend. I'm like, okay, let me do this. So I just, you know, I called my training partner. I set it up, the cameras. I sent them all their stuff either through email or in boxes because they get all these different stuff. And I did it a month ago. And I was like, holy shit. And then my whole business, everything just changed, grew. And, you know, my vision is to move to Greece in 10 years, right? And to be able to do this in Greece and open my phone and have good Wi-Fi, and that's all I need, and run my business. So it's been a great opportunity for me.
Now, I'm happy to hear it. I think as somebody who's an entrepreneur, I've been working from home for 10 years now. So I...
It's the best.
Yeah, my commute was bed to table or here. You know what I mean? Like that. I'm literally working out of the space, as a studio space that I'm kind of constantly in. And so there's always kind of an opportunity when it comes to. And I'm just gonna eliminate that sound. There's always an opportunity to do more when you're working with a global audience than when you're working with a local audience. I mean, and it's such an interesting thought to think that it could be learned online. But at the same time, you 8 years ago or 7 years ago were teaching it online. Like that's what this YouTube, these YouTube videos are. I mean, so at the end of the day,
I was teaching it online. Yeah. I was able to like create content, but now, like being able to do it one-on-one.
Yeah, with a program and getting them. Yeah.
It was new for me, right? So the guy's in Germany and he's got a bob dummy and I'm showing him the strikes. Or, you know, she's in Michigan and she's with the 2 kids and I'm training them online. And it just expanded. And now it's like, you know, COVID forced, like created that opportunity. And now my whole business is going to be moving towards that way. And like it's my new way that I'm going to grow my business is, you know, the old way is done. I'm not going back to doing what I was doing. So a lot of positive good stuff came, but I also wasn't the type, like I spoke to some trainers, oh man, it's bad. I'm like, man, fuck, seize this opportunity. Shut up, man. Like go online, start doing this, start doing that, build your social media. But I also seized the moment. I sat down, I was creative, and I didn't stop.
You didn't, I mean, in the fight, flight, or freeze, you fought.
Oh, right away.
If there's anything you were trained to do.
Yeah, it was like, my goal was like, and I remember I was with my girlfriend, I go, babe, watch. Give me 1 month, and I'm going to have 20 privates online. And this, I was at zero. Mm-hmm. 2-3 weeks later, I had like...
a bunch of people.
Yeah, a bunch of people. I was like a 15. I was like, oh, shit. And my goal was to get to like 30, 40, you know? And now I have people come to my gym, or they could do it online. I give them the option, and obviously the people around the world, they could just do it online. And I've set up like an online type of training studio.
Yeah, you have your cameras, you have the different, you know, the different angles, the different things. You're also, I'm imagining you're also creating video content for them that you could send them.
Yeah, they have all that too.
Yeah, so you're building a bank of it's in a sense, it's like you're an artist who built a body of work, right?
That's what I did.
Yeah, so you built this body of work, you film it, you send it to people, you say, okay, look at this, watch this thing, and then we'll do the private session. Or we did this thing, and now here's the next step before next week's session or whatever it is. And then you're showing them this 7-minute video or whatever it is.
What's really cool is like my programs are all, I have a membership site too, right?
Mm-hmm.
It's all automatic.
Mm.
Like, I mean, there's nothing like waking up in the morning and be like, oh, fuck, while I was sleeping, I made money.
Mm.
I mean, that's because my business is not scalable. Yeah. I'm my business.
Yeah.
So when I started building my online,
only
so many hours I could do, I was like, capped out, what's the most I'll ever make is this much.
Mm.
So I needed to create, I have like 7-8 programs plus my membership site that are all automatically running. And that allows me to make money online at, you know, at any time of the day, which is freaking amazing.
Blessing.
Yeah, it's the best.
Absolutely. Well, I would imagine like any entrepreneur that the number one thing that would now help your business grow is to find better ways to reach more people.
Yeah, absolutely. Right? It's all about that.
Yeah. And so there's two ways that goes down in my world. One, the holy grail is Facebook ads. Essentially, I say Facebook ads, Facebook, Instagram. Essentially, you pay the machine and you hope that the content that you created or the ad that you created speaks to people, gains attention. You spend $100. Hopefully, you sold them for $150 and you just keep the machine on as long as you possibly can.
That's what it is.
Great. I know a ton of people who do those kinds of things. Sometimes it works. I've known a ton of people who've done it and make no money or just kind of threw money at the machine and it just didn't work.
I put 5 G's with a quote-unquote expert a few years ago. Yeah. I made like 4 sales.
Oh, I believe it.
I was like, that's why I'm very iffy when I hear these guys. I'm like, really? Yeah, I'm an expert? Yeah, okay. How are you an expert?
Well, here's what I'll say. Like, I mean, as somebody who does professional storytelling marketing online, at the end of the day, I can only bring my best guess to the table, right? Now, for the most part, your reputation is built on, like, if your best guess is wrong all the time.
Yeah, that's it.
You're going to have a problem. If your best guess wins regularly, you know, here and there, you're going to have a bad moment. And you know, it's hard to say whether this person actually is an expert or isn't. Yeah. What I'll say is that everyone says they're an expert these days. We're living in this paradigm where everyone's a life coach, everyone's an expert in everything because of their Instagram bio said it.
Yeah.
And if it kind of looked like a duck and it quacked like a duck, maybe it was a duck. Yeah. But today it's really hard to figure out whether somebody's duck face means they're a duck or not.
Good point. You know
what I mean? Skylar's laughing in the background. But I just think that there's, you know, we're in a different world where gaining attention online is actually more and more difficult. And as you experienced, you know, if I'm looking at like just, you know, I'm going to do this, breaking down, you know.
Yeah, do it. I want to hear what you have to say, man.
Well, some of your more recent uploads have, you know, 1.4K views, 1K view, 1K, 2K. So it's not bad. Like that's, you know, it's still, there's still people paying attention and I'm sure it's still driving some leads and people kind of discovering you. But obviously, if I'm looking at some of your popular uploads, 18 million views, 17 million views, 3.4 million views, 3.1 million views. I mean, it's nowhere near where it was, let's say. I mean, I think that there's a lot. There's like, okay, let's break this down.
Let's break it down.
Okay. There's 4 types of content that you can create online. Hero, Hub, Help, Headline. Okay. Hero, Hub, Help, Headline. Hero is this. I come here, I watch a video, or I'm on a landing page about your knife course or whatever it is. Yeah. It's a video that's scripted that explains to me why I'm going to do what I'm doing, why I should trust you, what it means, how the program works, any social proof that you have, and what I do next, right? That's a hero video. Hub is exactly what we're also doing right now. Full-length podcast, people paying attention. They already have to know me or they have to know you to really care to listen to this whole thing.
Good point.
But they might be interested in shorter format clips about things that are either helpful or related to headlines.
Okay.
So lately, for example, in the world of fighting, and I know that self-defense and fighting are two different worlds, but they're still related in people's minds that are everyday people, at least put it this way. They're related to my mind in some way, shape, or form. Logan Paul fights Floyd Mayweather.
Mm.
Where's the video that talks to me about on your channel how Logan Paul survived the fight against Floyd Mayweather? That video is a headline. It's a wave in the ocean. Yes. It's a wave in the ocean that if you made a video about how Logan Paul survived against Floyd Mayweather, you put a good thumbnail on there and you title it properly and you come out with that video immediately.
You know, I didn't really give a shit about the fight.
Well, okay.
But I know what you mean, because somebody else had told me that. So there was the McGregor thing. I had talked about it.
Yes.
This was like years ago.
Sure.
But you know, I'll be honest with you, right? What happened with my YouTube channel, like after like I kind of got shadow banned.
Yeah.
I got so demotivated and I just started, because I was spending thousands of dollars in doing fight analysis. And when you're making $2,000 to $4,000, you're getting like millions of views, it's worth it.
Yeah.
Then when it went down, I was like, you know what? I didn't care to put any more time in it. So now, and I'm honest, I make a live and I don't put the effort.
I hear you.
Because part of me feels like even if I put all the effort, and I did at one point when it was dipping, that's when I hired the camera crew and I made probably my best content.
Yeah.
I feel like because they shadow banned me and I know that my channel didn't make sense what they were doing, it's kind of like you building a store in, I don't know, next to a highway knowing that nobody's ever going to see it. So you build the nicest,
sure,
coolest place. So that's how I felt. So part of it is I got demotivated. I was like, fuck it. And at the end, I created my program. I was like, you know what? I have enough free content. If people want, they're going to go check out my content that I am spending money.
Yes, well, your paid content is different things. But your paid content is going to grow if your free content grows too.
Yes.
100%. If I give you more attention, the likelihood that you sell more courses online is going to grow.
Absolutely.
So I agree with you that you cannot bank any longer on the fact that Google, Instagram, Facebook, any of these things are going to be there and the audience is always going to be there. But my advice is that if you put a little bit more time thinking about headline content. Help content, and you made better thumbnails.
Help content, what do you mean?
So help content is, I'm in a situation, how do I deal with this situation?
Okay. Like what I used to do, like the teaching.
Yes, or show me a popular fight video that's like, there's all kinds of fight videos online.
You know what happens? I did like Cobra Kai. Did you see my Cobra Kai series?
I did not see your Cobra Kai.
So I did a Cobra Kai series. Okay. Those are pretty good, actually. Sure. Again, those I paid for because Cobra Kai was happening. So I made it how to fight like Cobra Kai. If you see them, they're pretty good. So yeah. I took the actual Cobra Kai scenes and then I broke them down. And yeah. I used to do this thing called Movie Night Fight Night.
Yeah.
You probably haven't seen. Has to have 1,000 videos, right?
You have thousands of videos.
So I did 12 episodes. I took fights from Jean-Claude Van Damme, Steven Seagal, like fight movies, and then I broke them down and I said if they talked, but they didn't get views.
See,
and they were really, really good videos. People are like, shit. People ask me, and I'm like, you know what? I mean, I was paying so much money to film these because it takes.
Yeah,
money to get three cameras to come and do it really well. And if you see, you're going to be like, wow, these are really well made. And at the end, I tried everything. I was like, you know what?
Here's what I would do. I would spend less on production by doing a multi-camera setup kind of like this, where at the end of the day, Kyler's behind the scenes here and he's switching. And as we're talking, it's being edited.
Yeah.
So you do it as if you're running a live. Like you're not taking takes and doing things. You could do intros pre-recorded and then just kind of bolt them on at the end or do whatever, but you film it as if you're filming a live training. Yeah. Okay. So somebody on the other end, it's like a Zoom call. You just keep talking. You blundered on a word. Just keep talking. Just keep going. But by picking your topics ahead of time, knowing when the wave is coming in the game of fight world, in the world of like, here's a Batman scene of the newest Batman movie that came out. Newest James Bond just came out.
That's why I did the Cobra Kai series. But yes. I mean, that was, and actually enjoyed doing that scene because I really liked the show.
Yeah.
But I think part of it too, and I think it's the discouragement part of it and thinking, okay, is it going to make a difference? Because if you could see some of the older videos, like from a couple of months ago, I did that and I was like, I feel like no matter what I'm trying.
Yeah. But I think if you're doing it on multi-platform, it's going to work. Like if you're not just saying, okay, I'm uploading this for YouTube. You're saying, look, I'm going to spend X amount of dollars making this video. I'm going to think about the thumbnail. I'm going to think about the headline. I'm going to think about the way that I'm going to design it. Because like, when I look at these thumbnails.
Like my thumbnails are shit. That I totally agree. But that's
it. Your newest thumbnails are decent because they're in action.
Yeah.
But they're not making me, like, the ones of some of your knife defense videos or your popular videos or whatever it is, there's a little arrow that points to five top, like some of these thumbnails are actually pretty interesting and they're speaking to me in a different way. Now, some of this is dated, like this is old school thumbnails, So let's go quickly, right? If I just go to explore and now I'm going to look at what's trending on YouTube, you tell me which one of these thumbnails wasn't thought out. Which one of them is just an accident, that a viral video that just went viral? You know what I mean?
Yeah, you could see, yeah.
And the answer is that every one of these thumbnails is kind of thought out. Now, some of them are just because these people are freaking massive, right? Now, it's not the greatest freaking, you know, thumbnail in certain cases, but some of them are meant to provoke the before and after. Yeah. I have like a whole video on thumbnails I'm going to send you.
That I agree. And I had my friend, because he runs Anabolic Aliens. I don't know if you know him.
I don't know.
He has like almost a million followers on YouTube. He's coming here in August and we've collaborated. We've made videos together. We became really good friends.
Cool. When he comes, I'd love to
check it out. For sure. I'll have him come.
Maybe a podcast guest.
Yeah, he's awesome. Super cool. Young guy too, 23, 24. He has his app called Exoprise.
Nice.
And he told me, he's like, bro, you need to fix your thumbnails, man. Your thumbnails. He's like the YouTube king. Like, I mean, when I met him, because I used to have a manager.
Yeah.
We had the same manager from LA. Mm-hmm. I was like at 300,000. He was at 150.
Yeah.
And then we collabed. We made some videos, some training videos. I did some self-defense videos. And now he's almost at a million. But he's like.
Well, yes. So it's consistency in posting, consistency of brand, consistency of niche.
Yeah.
But you have the niche.
Yeah.
You have the consistency of branding. You already have an existing audience. And if you can break a little bit, like if you can get a video above 10K views, it will go to 100.
Yeah, that's what I noticed. I have a couple past ones with the girls.
Sure.
It's crazy. Huh?
But it's all about the topic. So you just need a mix between help and headline and good thumbnails that are thought out in that category.
Help, headlines, and thumb. You know what? I'm going to think of, like, what I'll do maybe when the new Cobra Kai series comes out, because I think it's coming out.
Coming
like
shortly,
another. I did How to Fight Like John Wick.
Perfect.
Did you see that? You haven't seen that?
I think I saw it. I didn't watch the actual video. I mean, I watched a couple here and there, but
that's pretty good because I love John Wick, right? Yeah. So I broke down his fight scenes, his knife scenes and all that.
But that's perfect.
And then, but I think one of them did good, like 40, 50,000 views. I can't remember. But it's weird, right? It's a hit or miss. Like, it's funny because sometimes I've spent money to do good content and it doesn't hit.
Yeah.
And other times I'll do a video with my phone and for some reason.
It is what I get that. I mean,
you know what's the fucked up thing? And like I have, like, she's my friend, her name is Candace, and I've done some self-defense videos with her. And just, I mean, every time I make a self-defense video with her, suddenly it blows up because everybody wants to see her like defend herself. You know what I mean? But I don't like doing that. You know what I mean? So I don't use her for that. I'm like, Candace, can you do some videos? She's like, yeah, sure. And then like all you hear is a stupid comments like nonstop.
100%. But here's what I'd say. On Instagram, it's all about the reels. I think TikToks are relevant to you too, not gonna lie. And then YouTube is king.
Yeah, YouTube is king. That's what I've noticed too. Like I have 50,000 followers on TikTok. And I don't even really use it because at the end, like I told you before, I have a friend of mine, he's got a million on TikTok.
Yeah.
And I told him, I'm like, Yost, how many are you converting? He's like, so you're creating content and it takes time to create content and you want to, I like doing it, but at the end you got to pick and choose. Like, I mean, sometimes it's so hard to manage all these platforms. So right now I'm focusing on YouTube and Instagram. Those are the two pretty much.
Yeah.
Which
is the better, you know, it's a good move. But if you're going to make reels for Instagram, then you might as well post them on TikTok.
I don't even know what reels are. I'm going to laugh.
I believe it. The reels is where the algorithm.
You know what it is? It shit it's goes so changing. Fast. Right. And like, it's hard for me. I'm fucking 45, right? And it's not an age thing, but like you constantly have to keep up and
But play to your strength.
Yeah.
Self-defense, right? Play to your strength. Yeah. If you realize this person is bigger and fitter than you are and they're attacking you, what's your strength? The strength is your element of surprise. The strength is whatever other situational, like it's, you teach me that you would teach me this in the physical. I'm going to teach you this in the digital, right? At the end of the day, you know, there are certain trends and there are people who know those trends.
Yeah.
Put it this way. Now you know me. So every once in a while you send me a message. What's trending? What's happening on YouTube? You know what I mean? What's going on? What should I be considering? And I'll tell you, the new Batman movie, the new James Bond movie is going to come out. When it comes out, go see it and make a video immediately after. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I like those. Those are fun. I actually enjoy doing them.
That's it. And all you need to do is pick a day of the week where, like, you're guaranteed, like, Kyler comes every Wednesday. Every Wednesday, we're going to create content. So whether I have a guest or whether I'm doing a solo cast, it doesn't matter. Every Wednesday, I'm creating content. So I'm ready for it. Yeah. And then I just think about, you know, I'll look at what's trending or what's going on. If I did this, if I did my job really well today, I could have brought forward an idea or I could have, like, reviewed something online that was trending in the world of self-defense and the world of fighting and the world of whatever. And then I can ask you, like, okay, what did you think about Logan Paul and Floyd Mayweather? And boom, that's a thumbnail. Like, I know that I can, after this thing, we're going to talk about which clips, where, what are the best parts, what are we going to break it down, and we're going to think about thumbnails, titles, all those kinds of things. Yeah. And I'm not a fucking idiot. I can ask you a question, like, what do you think about Logan Paul and Floyd Mayweather? And that's a clip that will do well. It sounds silly. You might not have that much to say about it, and that's why it might not do well or whatever. But what I mean by that is if I took the time and if I preset it up with you, and you know I'm going to ask you the question, then that also works.
Yeah.
And so just knowing where the waves are, and some of them are what's beautiful about the fight world is they're predictable.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. Like, I mean, I know some of the other guys, they do that. They'll take the fight and they'll break it down. I mean, I think some of it, like, again, I think some of it, when it comes down to the YouTube, it's just that I'm aware I've lost that motivation, because after, like, seeing, like, all my subscribers just dip and seeing, I'm like, you know what?
Yeah.
But I post more on Instagram now because I'm getting more engagement on Instagram.
You're right.
I'm getting more engagement. I'm getting more people, more feedback. Well,
the feedback loop is there that's giving you
more views, more of this. So I'm putting more energy on Instagram than I am putting on YouTube. And again, the YouTube, I just, whenever I have time, whenever I feel like it. But you know, like,
here's the truth. You told me you want to go to Greece in 10 years. I think you can go in 5 if you fucking double down over the next 12 months.
On YouTube?
On YouTube and Instagram. If you double down on making content and you do a lot of headline and help content, you're there in 5 years. Yeah. You could be there in 3.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? But I'm just saying, you're telling me 10 years are going to be there, so you're going to be 55 at the time or whatever. I think you could be there 50.
Yeah.
that's just what I'm telling you. I think, like, put it this way. You have the ingredients of the right niche, and you've got enough of a base that everything you put out is getting just enough views that if you can crack a little bit higher, you're going to hit the explorer, you're going to hit the thing.
That's all I need. I know that. I want to hit, like, you know, I'd be happy to have every video hit, like, you know, 10,000 views at least.
Yes.
But the fact that I put links going to my website, going outbound, does that change anything? Because I heard it does. Because all, like, me personally, I don't care about the YouTube money.
Yeah.
I make more money off my membership and my program. So my goal when they watch a video is to go.
No, I don't think it really changes anything. It's click-through rate and watch time.
Really, that's what it is.
That's what it boils down to.
Okay.
So if I show you the thumbnail and they click it, that's great. And then how YouTube validates whether or not it was good content or not is based on their attention. So if I clicked it and then 10 seconds later I left, it's that your thumbnail was good, but it was clickbait and then I left, or you're uninteresting.
So that's how it goes.
Click-through rate and watch time.
Okay. And the watch time, I heard it's only considered like a watched video after like
10 seconds on YouTube, 3 seconds on Facebook or Instagram.
Only after 10 seconds?
10 seconds on YouTube, 3 seconds on Facebook or Instagram.
Fuck, our attention span is like this big now.
Well, and they're, you know, they're giving you the positive feedback loop. Oh, somebody watched your video. After 10 seconds, it's like, I don't consider somebody watching my content for 10 seconds of view. What I know is that if you got decent click-through rate and a decent watch time, you're going to get a lot of attention.
Wow.
But, and then you got to spice it up, right? So if you're making a video about Logan Paul and Floyd Mayweather, you know, you don't want to start with like, hi guys, my name is Nick, whatever. That's not where you want to start. You want to start with like, I can't fucking believe Logan Paul freaking survived. Yeah. I'm going to break it down in this video for the 3 reasons why he did that. Boom, boom. Oh. Then your brand, right? So in the first 10, 30 seconds, whatever it is, you gave me a hook, you gave me the brand, and you what you told me is that what you clicked on and the thumbnail you saw and the title you saw was consistent with what you're going to see in this video.
Makes sense.
That's it.
I did that on one video and where I was like, I wanted to start right with like the best part.
Yeah.
And then break it down.
Yes.
And I can't remember which video it was. And I was like, fuck, that works.
It 100%.
Where it's like, I'll take the best part. As soon as you turn on, it's like, you see the fighting.
Yeah.
And then it's, you know, yeah, I guess I got to just, I mean, it's one of those things I'm like, fuck, I've been doing it for almost 10 years.
I hear you.
You know?
Again, 10
but,
years.
But it helped me
Greece,
build my business,
five
right?
Years in Greece.
It was actually the biggest catalyst of my business was YouTube. It's what put me on the map, because even though I don't have a lot of views like now,
it's not bad.
I still have close to, I think, 80 or 90 million views, and it helped me, you know, I got my police contract through a collaboration I did in LA with another self-defense guy.
Yeah.
And
made a YouTube video. And
yeah, we did a knife defense video, because he doesn't do knife. He goes, can we do a knife defense video? That video got 2.5 million views. It's one of his best videos.
Yeah.
And it's weird because I haven't had a video like that in so long, but his channel got it.
But it's worth it.
But it was worth it for me, absolutely.
So who are the influencers? Find them, the TikTokers, the Instagrammers, the whatever YouTubers that are talking about these things, and you break it down.
Sometimes,
or you do reactions. Let's say one of these guys does self-defense videos, and you see a video and you're like, actually, I disagree. You make a reaction video to his self-defense video and say, here's what I would do different.
Yeah. You know what? A lot of that is just...
You're going to tell me you're too old for it.
No, there's a part of me that's kind of like, you know what? Like, I see sometimes a TikTok thing. I see it and I'm like, is it something for me? Am I there now? I mean,
I don't know that you're at the TikTok thing, but I think you're on the YouTube.
The YouTube. Yeah. I've been, so here was my theory on YouTube. I wanted to ask you what you think. I had this, like, I haven't posted anything in a week and a half, 2 weeks.
Sure.
My goal was to post nothing for 6 months.
Okay.
And then in 6 months, boom, like come back.
Yeah,
like strong with something different.
I agree that if you did 90 days really powerfully, like proper planning, thumbnails, titling, research around tags, like whatever it is.
So don't post anything for like 90 days.
Well, I'm not saying don't post anything. Like if you have a capacity to just do small little detailed little things for the meantime, that's fine. But if you were to like build a run and really just take the time to invest in it for... You know, you take 30 days to create a bunch of content or plan out a bunch of content.
Yeah.
And then you just start getting in the cycle of going through it. And then you get real consistent with it. I think you can blow up at any moment.
And what if I'm shadow banned? Would that change anything or no?
I mean,
because there's definitely something wrong with my channel.
It's possible that you're shadow banned. It's possible that those different things are, you know, that your channel has gotten striked based on certain things. I would say that the likelihood that you're shadow banned is due to anything to do with guns. It's probably a gun conversation.
Yeah, I have a couple.
Great. I would remove anything with the word gun in the equation and remove those off the channels, and then I think you would be fine.
That's what's crazy, right? You build a business, and that's what I told somebody else. Like YouTube, you don't own YouTube. You don't own anything. You own a bunch of numbers.
Yep.
You're borrowing their space in exchange for content.
You're a billboard on the side of the highway, but every once in a while they can replace your billboard.
Yeah. So I tell people that, like, don't get attached to it. Build something on the side too, because just like that, they can take you down. You know.
Yeah, and you're at the point of maturity in your business where, like, look, you've got enough clients who've figured you've met you, who then create a halo effect where one client trains with you, then they bring in the next client, and so on and so forth. So you've got the momentum. Like,
yeah, that's
if you do nothing more.
Yeah.
On social media, other than like appear from time to time just to be top of mind.
That's a little bit what I'm doing right now.
Yeah, you're coasting. You're coasting. You're making content. It's good. It's solid. It's got a, you know, X amount of views on YouTube.
I'm not overthinking it. I'm not like...
Which is great. Yeah. You're in the coasting phase. You had to do a lot of pivots with the online stuff.
Yeah.
Great. But now you're at a point where it's like, okay, that online stuff is there. And I know as an entrepreneur that if you could find more reach, like I just know that you could do it.
Yeah.
Like, I would love to be in your position, put it that way. My biggest dream is to grow my YouTube. And so I know that I know that this podcast and the way that I'm making content right now is going to blow up at some point.
Yeah, that's...
And it already has in some categories. Like, I did well on Facebook, but now Facebook's reach is just to the floor. So then I started pivoting to Instagram, and now Instagram is kind of getting, you know, the carpet is being pulled under. And YouTube, that might be the same case too. But the point is that in all of it, I'm getting better and better at storytelling. And I'm getting better and better at identifying my niche. And I'm getting better and better at like hey, I'm going to have a guest on. I'm going to look at their brand and just break it down in front of
them. You see, like, our men's talk show have the balls to talk about it.
Yeah.
We started that channel 2 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
And now we're at 3,300 subscribers.
Okay.
We've monetized the channel. Like, it's starting to pick up. And I remember I was telling Andrew, I'm like, Andrew, trust me, it takes a little bit of time.
It does.
For it to kick in the algorithm. When it does, it took like 2 years to go from zero
to 3,000
to 2,000. And it took like 6 months to go from 2 to 3.5.
The hardest thing is to crack the first 10K.
It takes one video to take off. And now we have one like,
yep.
You know, what's better, Viagra or Cialis? It has like 40,000 views because everybody wants to know this shit. And it's like skyrocketing.
But you see how that's a classic health video? Yeah. I went and checked out your that channel. Yeah. Okay, I'm actually gonna bring it up. I went and checked out the Instagram.
The Instagram is not
strong. Oh, no, sorry. Yeah, the Instagram wasn't that great. It was the YouTube that I thought was really good. So I went and checked this out. And then I looked, like, I pay attention, right? So I'm looking here and then I see, okay, popular uploads. How does Viagra or Cialis work? Yeah. It's got 35K views 2 years ago. And again, the thumbnail is interesting. The title is there. I mean.
So you also have to know that this right now is a much bigger production, meaning they do everything for us, right?
Okay, but how much are you spending on this production? Like, you could tell me that, or you could write the number down if you don't want to say it.
It's in the thousands.
Per episode. Great.
You know, because it's, you know, three cameras, it's this, it's that, plus, I mean, it's a lot of work, right?
Yep.
And but it's, at the end, it's worth it, because I believe we're creating a really good show. Something that's long-term, something that's...
So I'm just going to press play.
Yeah.
Real fast on one of your most popular videos here.
Oh, have you ever seen one of them?
I have not. I actually never press play.
It always starts with a comedy.
I like it. You got a nice little hook. You've got this, but that's not what you're paying the thousands for. You're paying the thousands because you have multiple cameras.
Yeah, we have three cameras.
I think there's some cholesterol and blood pressure medications, which are...
Okay, great. So you're paying thousands of dollars to do essentially a video switch between a wide, one on you, and one on him, right?
Yeah.
That's what you're paying thousands of dollars for.
Yeah, but like, I mean, they do the editing, the production stuff, like,
great.
So.
Well, hey, Kyler over here, behind the scenes. We have a three-camera setup. Here, camera one.
Yeah.
Camera two, camera three, and actually, camera four. It could have been a fourth camera, but I just choose to make it a screen share and bring the audio through the soundboard, do the whole thing. I'm paying for sure 1/10 or maybe 20% of the price you're paying. Yeah. And it's edited. The second he presses end, the full clip is edited. Yeah. Now, I want to add some little fancy jokes at the front. I want to add a little bumper, a little thing, which he does. Yeah. Okay, he'll do. The price that it's costing to do that is all on the fact that I have the right equipment and the right setup.
Yeah.
And I've got a studio that is constantly, you should flick the light on, you flick it off, the lights are here permanently.
I think for us too, like, I mean, I look at, for me and Andrew, it's more the time.
But that's back to the time. Back to
We don't have, like, we were talking about setting up a podcast. Like, I mean, we don't have the time. Like,
but if
he's
you
so
set
busy.
Up this setup, it's, you actually just, it couldn't be easier for me to set up. Like, you know what I mean?
Yeah, well, like I said, I'm open to that. You know, guys coming and setting us. We, like I said, we thought about renting a space, right?
Yes.
But for sure, we want to create the podcast. That's what we want to do in the future. And for sure, it's more like just, I mean, me and Andrew are talking, like, okay, who's going to set it up? Who's going to put it all together? Shit, I don't have time. You don't have time.
I guarantee you that if you took the time to set this up, it's not that much money.
It's not even the money. It's more the time and knowing, like, how to put all this stuff, like, I'm pretty sure I can't, like, I mean, I could probably figure it out, but I have the time to sit there and figure out what.
No, I mean, I built an entire online course, and this is a plug, by the way, for those of you who are watching. I built an entire online course. It's totally free that I literally explain why. Number one, what's your show about? And I talk about the mindset behind the show and, like, thinking about what's unique about your show and how you're going to make an interesting show. The second piece is the setup. The third is then, okay, how do you actually hit record and what do you do? And then the fourth is just publishing. Like, what are the best practices to publish? And I teach that for free because at the end of the day, I know it's worth more to me to teach things for free than it is to try and monetize everything I do.
Yeah.
That's me. But the idea of the setup is not that complicated. Yeah. You just need to think it out or you just need to pay somebody to fucking do it.
Yeah. That's why I'll be paying one of you guys to come set it up.
Sure. But the amount of money that it takes to... the amount of money you're spending on a couple of episodes compared to just setting it up properly and actually just like building the system real easy. And like at the end of the day, like Kyler's here, but I could be switching on my own. Now, the reason I want him here is because he's also processing the footage. Meaning it's if he's going to process the footage, he's going to have to watch it again later. He might as well be here, be a part of the conversation. He's been quiet this whole time, but be a part of the conversation or bring in a little element, you know, and then also understand the process by which I am thinking about the content, the thumbnails, the titles, right? And I know that the world is headed in this direction. I know that having a live stream, like you talk about Zoom, right? Yeah. And you're showing, you know, oh, you have a nice camera studio, but probably doing it with one camera angle.
Yeah.
Right? Great.
Like when I'm training clients?
When you're training clients.
Yeah, just one camera.
Yeah, great.
Very simple.
So I can do a Zoom with all three of these or four of these cameras. By just plugging in one thing and using Cinemaker is the name of the software that we're using, right? By using Cinemaker, I can use one single app to make a multi-studio experience.
Shit, I don't know that stuff.
Right? But back, so, and I can make this entire show, we didn't record it live, but I could have been live on multiple platforms all at the exact same time. So I could have been live on Twitch, on Facebook groups, on YouTube, on whatever platform. We could have went live on every single thing, and I could have aggregated all the live comments into a single app through Restream. So that's essentially becoming a multi-streamer. So I'm using Cinemaker to go through Restream, and I can be live at any one moment. Wow. So now you want to talk about headlines. Logan Paul, Floyd Mayweather. I'm watching it live.
Oh, that's pretty cool. Yeah.
Oh, that was a good defense there. What he did, he went like this, he went like that. You get what I mean?
Yeah.
So there's a very, the fastest way to make really good content and take advantage of headlines is to make fast, easy content
good point.
With multiple angles immediately set up.
Yeah.
So if you spend a little bit more time in the planning and the setup, aka you train a little bit, then you're going to be better in the live situation, right?
All right, good point.
Self-defense 101.
I just get overwhelmed when I'm like, ah, shit, I got to learn something else new.
I just came in with the jabs and the right hooks real fast. But I think this is where the world is going.
Yeah, I believe so too. This is going to be for sure. It's going to be.
And lowering production time and costs is going to be a huge, huge game.
Yeah, for sure, for sure.
Huge, 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 huge game. And then contextualizing the content, meaning, you know, a lot of what Kyler is doing and is genius is that not only are we making YouTube videos, but we're taking some of those videos and making them into reels. We're taking some of those videos and making them into IGTVs.
Who does it? Kyle does that?
Kyler does everything, but it's a balance.
It's time consuming still, right?
I mean, it is 100%. Like what he does is fucking phenomenal. And you know, speak to it, Kyler. Like it's time consuming.
I'm fucking amazing. Thank you.
You are. No, you're here. Yeah. I wouldn't work with you if you weren't fucking amazing. So period. But at the end of the day, it's time consuming, but half the work is in the setup.
Yeah. And then it's
like,
just,
and I say setup, meaning like literally the physical setup, but also planning the content, you know? So when him and I do a solo cast, I'm telling him, okay, segment one, segment two, segment three. And I don't always know the title ahead of time, but for the most part, I'm trying to title it, trying to think about a thumbnail or some different ideas. Now, he's doing a lot of the creative in the thumbnail department right now. I give him assets, like photos and things that he can use. And he has, I've made like a bunch of, with a designer, we made like a bunch of template thumbnails. Okay. So you can just, so it's all about. Yeah,
I think it's probably that I'm missing it, that structure of being able to like, bang out shit like much quicker.
And just if you don't have the time to set it up, pay somebody to set it up.
Yeah.
I see that structure. It was a game changer when I came to work with Mark. Like bringing in structure made me more creative because then instead of creating one piece of art once a day, I created 10, 15, more. So creating that structure, that planning, like totally streamline our process. It was amazing.
Yeah, and we're like still like, so Kyler and I have only been working together for maybe 2 months, something like that, okay, in terms of timeline. But as we get better and better and better, it's like the production value, everything that we're doing is just
get better, faster. And
that's the point. And I was doing it, I taught my brother who knew nothing about video editing. He was editing my entire podcast and everything around it. He went from literally never editing video ever, or maybe like a video in his life, to fully producing my podcast at a very reasonable time for from record to him pumping out everything. It's super reasonable and very affordable.
Yeah, I think
now it's very affordable for me in a different way because I'm also I have the equipment. I run the studio. Yeah, I do everything. And I'm so goddamn on point that you're not, Kyler doesn't have to show up and bring strategy to me. In fact, though, his ideas of what the better clips are, how the thumbnail should look, or some things, and the ideas of what I should even talk about are better through him than they are through me.
I guess because he sees it from outside.
That's the point. That's it. He has better questions for me than I have for me. Because my questions are too advanced for the average person who's watching a YouTube video, if that makes sense. Like, I'm thinking about things at a level of geekery that maybe applies to a very small niche of people, whereas if I went thought a little bit wider, it would work better, you know? And so, and I monetize in untraditional ways. Like, I don't care to have a bunch of sponsors on the podcast, or it's not about how many views I get on the podcast, because at the end of the day, I have a conversation with one person, and that one person leads to the next person,
the next person.
And that's worth it to me.
Yeah.
And I know that if I have one pop on YouTube.
Yeah, it just takes one.
That's it. And I'm just willing to wait. I'm willing to play. I'm willing to swing, you know? And here's the thing. I have fucking fun. This is fun. This is like really fun. I love to meet people.
At the end, that's why I tell people, you got to have fun doing it.
You know
what I mean? If you don't have fun, like I have fun doing my men's talk show.
I
enjoy meeting, having the guests, talking about men's issues and topics. I really enjoy that show, right? So that's why I'm also putting a little bit more energy and focus on that. I'm also like, you know, so many places where I'm like, I got to pick and choose. Now I got to the point where I got to pick and choose, okay, where do I want to go? What do I want to put my energy? And sometimes I rotate. I'll be like, okay, man, I'm just going to go here. I'm going to put this aside. Next couple of months, I'm going to work on this. And I kind of like shift because I'm all over the place at the same time. But I love everything that I've created. Now it's just finding how do I juggle it and try to keep it as balanced as possible.
I hear you. Yeah, I the way I see it is I create content. I run all my content in a single day a week.
Like once a week, boom, you film
everything. Once a week, I film everything. That's it. And I make a lot of fucking content. Now, like here and there, I when I train outside or I'm doing whatever, I'm making little stories while I'm training. That's different. But that's hub content, and that's just situational. I'm wakeboarding, or I'm this, or I'm that, or I'm training outside. I flipped a kettlebell or did whatever. That's easy. And even then, I think about the story, and I put time and energy into it like I did this morning. But that's all generally one day a week. Like it's not that much time. And I do this professionally. Like this is what I do for a living. Wow. The other stuff I do is run a farm, but that's another story for another day. So long story short is that it doesn't have to take that much. And I think you're sitting on a gold mine. Like your niche is so much more relevant and so much more like you're set up for it in a way that people would dream of. And hopefully you'll be living off the the winnings and the gold of that in the islands of Greece.
You know what? I'm going to take that little break because I was planning to take a break.
Yeah.
6 months, I said, or 3 months, whatever it was. And then I'm going to come back. I'm going to think of a new strategy, a new series, something new.
Yep.
New thumbnail, new everything. Just redo the content from scratch. And just
have it help.
Yeah, like that. I'm going to do that. Watch. I'm going to do it, and then we'll be back in like 6 months, and we'll see. I'm telling you.
I'm telling you. Yeah. I'm literally. I'm like, yes.
No, but I'm going to show you. I'm going to show it to you.
Yeah, I'm excited to see it, man.
I'm going to think of something.
Well, I really appreciate you taking the time. If there's anything you want to say, any last words, anything.
Thank you so much for having me on, guys. It was fun. I learned a lot of stuff, and hopefully we'll be working together because definitely want to have you guys come up and set up a few things for me and Andrew for our show. So
and number two is I'm going to come do some self-defense courses.
Absolutely. Whenever you guys are ready. Yeah.
Yeah. I'm ready for that. Well, here's what I'll say. If you love the show, first of all, if you got all the way to the end of this show, it means that you found value in it. You had a good time. Now, I'm not going to tell you where the links are, ladies and gentlemen. You fucking know where the goddamn links are. So go find them. Go click them. Go check out Nick's website. You know, if you're interested in self-defense, anything like that, again, you know where the links are. But here's the thing. What you might have forgotten is where the subscribe button is and where that bell notification is. Now, you want to hit the bell notification because you want to know when my next video comes out. Because, again, if you got to this point of the video, you probably liked it. You probably learned a little thing or two. So hit the button. Hit the other button. And see you in the next episode.